Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And each week I find someone interesting to talk about it with, but this is the final day of our San Diego Comic-Con blog pod, podcasting through 5 days of the funnest time ever. And it's Sunday. It's about... Yeah, that's not even bad.
Pardon?
That's not bad. It's Sunday, it's about 12 o'clock, we've just arrived at Comic-Con, we've gotten some food, we've gotten some much-needed sleep, and I'm chilling with Jackie and Blondie. Say hi to the podcast, Blondie.
Hello, podcast.
Okay. Hi!
That was Jackie with the happy hi. We can cross here. And it's sad, final day. No Star Wars programming, gonna walk the floor, gonna go give Gonk Droid a present. And that's about it. The Masquerade last night was the best. Star Wars one was the best.
Are you gonna post that up later for everybody to see? The little skit?
I will post up the little skit a little bit later for everyone to see, Jackie.
Well, good.
Thank you for asking. Jackie's continually fighting for the listener.
See?
I'm always like, let's give them less content. And Jackie's like, no.
Let's provide for them.
I bet you $10.
I think you should describe everyone's outfits today.
Oh. All right, well, Blondie's wearing a black Darth Vader t-shirt with a giant Darth Vader head. Jackie's just wearing a black t-shirt.
No, I've got my Star Wars Vans on, though. I just didn't want to overkill with top and bottom.
All right, well, Jackie's a bit defensive, obviously.
New fashions...
I'm wearing my Gonk Droid vintage slave one.
This way or this way?
You go around there and you look. The guy's got a sign entrance to the Hall H line this way.
Okay. But I wonder if this is the American Horror Story line or a different one.
Well, you just got to get in there. Doesn't matter. Once you're in there, you're in there. All right.
Yeah,
well, can
I? Do you know how they split it off?
No, they don't.
They did the other night.
No, that was for the everything else line. You get in the Hall H line, this is it.
So we'll see you later. I'll just call you, we'll meet in the hall or something.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye listeners.
Bye, see you.
Behave yourself.
I will not behave myself. So they're going to go see the American Horror Story panel in Hall H. That's a bit scary for me. I'm more of an Ewok type of guy. You guys know that. So, it's, I don't know, last day's sad, but I don't think we could survive any more days here, because it's just, it really wears you out, if you're going to do it, if you're going to go all out, and also if you're going to go all out, then get home and stay up for 2 hours getting an episode ready for you guys. So, but that's fine, but what I'd really appreciate, you know, I've obviously had the best time, but it does take a little bit out of you to then stay up and try and get episodes together. So it'd be awesome if you could leave a sweet 5-star review on iTunes and follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Steel Wars, and search on Facebook and hit like and get involved in the conversations, and the extra social media numbers makes us look better. And to potential people that are going to get involved with the podcast, and I've met a lot of really, really cool people that you'd know of and not know of, that hopefully are going to do some stuff for the podcast in the future. And I'm really excited. We're going to have a great last half of the year as we lead up to one of the greatest films of all time. I'm calling it. It has been called.
It's a time change for you.
I've been here for about a month, so...
Oh, so you're fine.
And it's Comic-Con, so who knows what... Like, I don't know what time it is. It's insane. All right, you guys, we are here. It is about 12:10, and we are with Brian from Reaction of Super 7.
Yeah.
You guys would probably know the Reaction figures, which you founded.
Yes. So we started Reaction figure with the Aliens figures 2 years ago, and then it was sort of much bigger opportunity than we ever realized it was going to be. So we partnered up with Funko to help us sort of get them out to everybody, and so we do it as a collaboration now.
And they are out there.
Oh, no, they're out there.
It's like a 80s video shop come to life in action figure form.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing. When we did the original Aliens a couple years ago, we really didn't think that outside of a core group of alien collectors that people were really going to care. The action figure market as a whole was really high articulation, high likeness, low price point, $9.99 on shelf. And at that time, we were $19.99 a figure. Low likeness, low articulation. So we thought that the general action figure guy,
must I say, the way action figures should be.
That's the way I remember them. But I didn't think that the general action figure consumer was missing that aesthetic. And obviously we were incredibly wrong and thankful that we were wrong, because we're getting to make toys with licenses that we never dreamed would happen.
Like, I'm a huge vintage Star Wars collector, and sometimes some of the sweetness of them is how unlike the person they look like the face sculpts.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
It's completely, like, we always try to say, it's like, what is the appropriate level of shitty?
I think I've done a few podcasts like that. We've got an amazing shop in San Francisco.
Yep.
And we visited there when we went to Rancho Obi-Wan a couple of years back and saw the wallpaper.
Yep.
And this is what I ordered the biggest roll of wallpaper to get sent to Australia. And what I did was I used it to line my collection cabinets.
Ah, very nicely done. That's great. You'll have to send me these photos. That's awesome.
And then, oh, there's the little, that's the...
Yeah. She's reaching out of the hot lava there.
And that one, which is like a 5-row IKEA thing, that was 2 days.
Cutting it up in all those little pieces would have been...
And making sure... And just like the OCD of, like, I need all
the
these...
Crossovers.
I need the Stormtrooper to line up with the next Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
It was worth it. But, yeah, the guys saw this the other day, and they said I had to come past and show you guys. So what other stuff are you doing with Star Wars at the moment?
With Star Wars, we're still doing a bunch of T-shirts. A lot of our licensing got sort of tied up into legal limbo when Disney bought them, and we're still sorting through a lot of that stuff. So the T-shirt stuff we still make through Mighty Fine in the interim. We've got a lot of stuff planned for Star Wars, but the licenses aren't finished yet. But in terms of you're a Star Wars fan, one of the little neat sort of Easter egg things here is with the Skeletokens that we did for here, we made these with the people that made the original Power of the Force coins.
Oh, awesome.
And then, so same thing with the Masters of the Universe 3 3/4 are sculpted by the head of Kenner Sculpting through the 70s and 80s. So it's the original Kenner sculptor that worked on the original Star Wars figures, sculpted those figures for us.
That is sick. What I would like, and I've mentioned this to Hasbro, is like, I want vintage style figures of Darth Maul.
Well, whoever you know at Hasbro, let them know that I want to make all this sorts of stuff in that they don't have the time to make because they're busy making the new movies and rolling around in giant piles of money. I'm ready to make it if Hasbro will just sit down and meet with me.
And you're rolling around in giant piles of Skeletor coins.
I am rolling around in nerd facts from every angle.
Well, yeah, it's an awesome booth. It's it's super cool what you've done with, like, the He-Man and the alien stuff. And you seem like a guy that's living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this for 14 years. And 2 years ago, with Alien, it sort of kicked over into another notch. And now... We're able to do all the things that, as collectors, you sit in your room and talk to your buddies about and go, oh man, it'd be so awesome if I did this or if they could make this. We're starting to actually be able to do those things, and it's pretty amazing.
I don't know. I don't think I had the imagination or the right type of things to smoke to go, I want Masters of the Universe muscle figures.
Well, that was an easy one for us in a lot of ways because muscle was made by Mattel and Masters of the Universe was made by Mattel. And for me, I was just like, how come you never put your peanut butter in the chocolate and your chocolate in the peanut butter? Like, this is so obvious. How did you guys miss this?
Now you're coming off like the nerd Willy Wonka.
I can run with that. You know, we'll make everlasting gobstoppers next. It'll be a figure you can't break.
That is dope. So where can the listeners find out more about Super 7?
You can go to super7store.com for product. And in about a month, we'll have super7hq.com, which will be all the history and different things that we've done over the years. Because at the store, everything's sold out, so people don't see it. So the HQ site will have, here's the last 15 years of toys.
Awesome. It's it's exciting stuff. It's fresh, and it's, I know, it's got that cool edge.
Oh, it's, if you're the right person in the right age group, it speaks to you in a very visceral, nostalgic way. And if it doesn't, that's all right.
If it doesn't, you're probably not listening to this podcast.
Probably not.
Cheers, Matt.
All right, thanks.
All right, you guys, I am here with the Star Wars Comlinks, David Collins, and from Star Wars Oxygen, which you would have found out about with the Jimmy Mac episode. David, have we just had the greatest 24 hours in Star Wars fan history?
Well, I mean, here at Comic-Con, I mean, that was a pretty amazing panel. And it was so exclusive. I mean, I didn't even get into it. I wasn't there. But
really? And you're connected?
A lot of people who are connected were just, like, dying to get in there. I mean, 7,000 seats sounds like a lot, but it really wasn't. I mean, it was tough. So what I did was I ended up saying, all right, well, if I can't do that, I definitely want to get into the concert. So I kind of traded one for the other. So I went to the concert. The concert was incredible. And to have the entire cast there, and Harrison Ford looked so happy. Like, he looked like a real Star Wars fan, you know?
The last person I ever thought I'd see hold up a toy lightsaber on the planet, Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And he was just incredible. We're just talking about the concert.
I wasn't there. I want to know all about this.
Oh, the concert. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we just had a pop-in from Sam Witter.
Hey.
And you are playing the Emperor in Rebels.
I am, yes.
Doing
yes.
A killer job.
Thank you very much.
Haven't been seen yet, though.
Haven't been seen, but he's been heard. Yeah.
And I guess, as a voice actor, that's the most important thing to you.
Well, I was just happy that people knew who the character was, because we saw it at Star Wars Celebration in the theater. And you know, when he said, Lord Vader. And when he said Lord Vader, the audience cheered. And I inwardly cheered because you didn't see his face. I'm like, okay, thank God they know who he is. Yeah, yeah. They know what character we're referencing.
And by the way, no pressure playing a scene against James Earl Jones.
That's the problem. As soon as I heard that James Earl Jones was doing it, I was like, oh, I'm going to get fired. Like, this isn't going to go well because it's got to sound like Ian McDiarmid. You can't do an interpretation. If it was, a sound-alike, you could do, you know, for example, Tim Curry. I thought he did an incredible Sidious. And that isn't an Ian McDiarmid Sidious, but it still feels like Sidious.
Yeah,
it was his own. Felt like the same character, but it felt like a different interpretation. But when it's James Earl Jones, it can't be an interpretation. It's got to be. Yeah.
My preparation, what I'd advise you to do, is the day before you have to do it again, get a snorkel, fill up the tub, get underwater, breathe, and just wrinkle up your entire body with water.
Sure.
And then physically, you'll be there.
Put some bleach in the water so your skin's nice and white. Scratch your eyes. Smoke a pack of cigarettes.
No, don't do that.
And then just work up like about 8 years of static electricity.
Yeah, right.
Or scream your head off the night before, so that you wake up the next day and you've got all that gravel. You know,
it does. It does help. Even some screaming, the Emperor's voice has helped with that.
Yeah. Or just go, I'm doing it with James Earl Jones. Better do a pretty good job.
Well, we recorded it before they told me. I had no option. I only found out after the fact and then asked Dave if I could do it again. He said no.
So did you make it to the concert?
I didn't, no.
It was just unfathomable that they did that. And that everyone was so, like, there was, you know, we hear stories at Comic-Con, people getting pushed over, broken arms. Everyone walked so orderly. It was very cool.
What I liked about it too is that it was a real love letter to the importance of John Williams' score to Star Wars. Like, there's a real recognition there from Kathy Kennedy and JJ and Disney that John Williams' Star Wars score is so important to Star Wars that was the fan service that they decided to pull off. You know, it wasn't I mean, yes, you had Harrison and you had Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and all the new cast and everything, but it's like, what can we do that's special for the fans at Comic-Con, you know, before the release of this new era of Star Wars? Let's do an orchestral concert in the park. How amazing is that? You know, unfortunately, he couldn't be there, but I mean, he's 83 years old, you know, and we're lucky to have him on Episode 7, and his music was incredible. And then the set list, they started with the Imperial March. Then they did Anakin's theme, which I was really surprised at, but they did an amazing job. Then they did the asteroid field, then they did the Parade of the Ewoks, then they did Leia's theme, then they did the Battle for Endor, and then they closed with the main title and a spectacular fireworks show that the entire city heard. All of Comic-Con stopped. I even heard that The Walking Dead, because they do that race in the middle of Petco Park, that stopped when the fireworks were going off, because they were all like, what? You know, what's going on. So, I mean, it made a huge, huge impact. You know?
And you were saying, no one was expecting it.
And Harrison Ford was there being enthusiastic?
He was there. And they showed up at the end again. I was like, oh, my gosh, they stayed for the whole concert. Like, they thought, the cast thought it was cool, too. And, that, I mean, Harrison Ford waving a plastic lightsaber. Because they gave out plastic lightsabers to everybody.
7,000 lightsabers.
And so, like, it looked like a rave because you had everybody going. And the crowd was smart enough to, like, when the Imperial March was playing, the red sabers were up. When the Parade of the Ewoks were playing, the green sabers were up. When, you know, and it was great. And at the end, like, Harrison Ford's holding a plastic lightsaber, holding it up. And they all did a big cast selfie. You can see the pictures online where, you know, they turned around and they've got the orchestra and then them and then 7,000 lightsabers. It's really incredible.
It's got to be an interesting thing, right, for Harrison Ford, because we've all seen the interviews after Return of the Jedi where he was saying, okay, 3's enough and I'm done and all that stuff. Over the years, it's got to change. You know what I mean? You got to be like, yeah, it was fun.
I walked away from a plane crash. I kind of appreciate this.
Well, it was like when he came out and we just cheered. He went to talk. We cheered more. And you could see him get visibly, which, you know, we don't know Harrison Ford, but he's comes across as a bit of a, you know, a curmudgeon, hasn't been involved with Star Wars that much. But he was like sucking it back. And then sort of said, Star Wars is where, that's what started my career. Thanks so much. It's great to be back. And it was just like, wow. Even he's caught up in it. It was really cool.
It's affirmation as a fan that what you value and what is important to you is important to the people that you look up to. And the power that's in that is just tremendous. I mean, that's what we really want as fans. We really want to know that. We really want validation of what we care about from Lucasfilm, from the cast.
The people that made it.
Yeah. From the people that made it. Like, there's a real tremendous power in that. And I think that's what makes everyone so emotional. Like, when you saw that very genuine reunion of the big three like that, you know, everyone got choked up, you know, and your heart starts beating because you're just like, wow, this is like, Never thought we'd see it. And when we were kids, Star Wars was the biggest thing on the planet. And that's the Star Wars I remember from my childhood. The Star Wars was bigger than everything. And that's what we saw this weekend.
And the surrealness, never would have imagined seeing Carrie, Harrison, and Mark on stage discussing Skywalker incest. It was awesome.
Right. Yeah, Skywalker incest. So Mark Hamill goes, you know, if you think about it, this actually would have been, the sister discovery would have been really traumatic in years to come. You know, and while he's talking, Harrison Ford's slowly doing this. Like that. Like, he's like just putting his hand on his shoulder. And he just stops and he goes, how many times do I have to say I'm sorry? Like that. And people just roar, you know. Like, I'm sorry I got the girl.
What you're saying is that he wasn't just there being a team player. He was there being a team player.
Yeah, like, he was having fun.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be. I mean, at some
he
point...
He choked up at one point. Harrison Ford, when he was thanking the crowd. Right.
Yeah, when before he could talk, because we were just like... And then he sort of... And then we go... And you could just see him, like, going...
Well, you know what's interesting about that? And I wonder if this plays into it. Harrison Ford has been to these panels before for Ender's Game or stuff like that, and generally someone always asks a Star Wars question and he just kind of goes, well, yeah, I mean, you know, and the best we've ever been able to get out of him is like, well, I'd maybe be open to it, or, you know, or maybe some jokes on some late night shows, which have always been really well done. But he's never been face to face with the fans, really. He's never seen it. He could be face to face with someone coming up, but he doesn't know the context of someone coming up going, oh my god, it's so great. He's never been around thousands of them going, yet all waving lightsabers and realizing the power of this thing.
Yeah. It's got, how can that not move you? You know, and the fact that he stayed for the whole thing was just what it's moving to the fans. You know, it was, to answer your initial question, it was an amazing weekend. Yeah, Comic Con.
We did, you know, we did the sleep out and we did question. You know, we've been told there's going to be no new footage, and it was like, is this going to come through? Why is it at the end of the day? That seems silly. We have to go through these other panels. And I've never trusted anyone more with my happiness than J.J. Abrams after this weekend. Just has come through.
There was a great article about how Star Wars won Comic-Con, and they showed less than anybody else. There was the restraint that was practiced was incredible, because really they showed that behind the scenes video. They announced who General Hux was. They talked about Starkiller Base. They showed, you know, some shots, but they didn't really give us anything new. What they gave us though was more valuable than giving us everything.
Yeah, fueling your imagination to like go, what's all that about?
It was brilliant. It's like, what are we going to do for Comic Con? We just did a thing at Celebration. We got to hold a trailer for the, because it's not till December. Let's just say thank you. And that's basically what they did, you know.
Ah, and if you didn't know, the creature from the Amaze video came out on stage and did a lap and knocked over JJ's sign, and all the little creatures in the back were moving around. His face was sniffing, and it was incredible.
Amazing.
Well, thanks so much for your time. So happy to bump into you guys. Where can the listeners find out and listen to what you guys are doing?
I used to follow me on Twitter at David W. Collins. I do a podcast called Star Wars Oxygen for Rebel Force Radio.
Which is unbelievably amazing. If you have not listened to Star Wars Oxygen, do yourself a favor. Get on Rebel Force Radio. Find the Oxygen episodes. He dissects and analyzes and discovers things about John Williams Star Wars music that is never... I've never discovered or heard of before. And
he's
I know
modest. He's my number one advisor on this. So I'm thinking about talking about this. What do you think? You know.
Well, here's the thing. I actually pride myself on knowing those soundtracks really, really well. And I think you'll back me up. I know them very well.
Yes, you do.
But there are things you've found that I'm like, I have never heard that before. Little references to things that John Williams has hidden inside. Or, for example, David has discovered that the Star Wars theme itself is the hero's journey. You really got to listen to Oxygen. It's an incredible experience when you realize how much story John Williams has packed into the music itself.
Well, on when we had Jimmy Mack on, we were talking about the Oxygen, and then somehow we were talking about what was the gravy of Star Wars, and one of the listeners sent in a Photoshop of a gravy dish with Jar Jar Binks sticking out of it. Jar Jar's the gravy of Star Wars.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
That's true. Yeah. So we're going to start another podcast called Star Wars Gravy.
Yeah, very unhealthy for you, but kind of delicious. I have no idea.
Delicious.
And good for the whole family.
And Sam, where can the listeners find out more about you?
At Sam Witwer on Twitter. And I think it's probably the best place. There's also a Facebook page, but I keep forgetting. I think it's official Sam Witwer Facebook or something like that. Or
Sam Witwer.
It's something like that.
Right. And, of course, you can just watch season 2 of Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, James.
Cool. All right, you guys, it's 1:15. We are at the Jack's Pacific booth with our old pal, Gong Troy.
An old pal, indeed. How are you doing, Steele? It's been so long since I last seen you.
Now, you have been running rampant during the day, but especially during the nights of Comic-Con. How are you feeling on the last day?
Oh, I'm tired. You know, after the masquerade ball last night, I had to meet up with a friend, and after that, I had to go to bed. There's just no craziness that I could partake in anymore here. I'm completely drained from each day, and which is funny, I'm normally here at a full show from Wednesday till about, you know, Sunday till closing, and just for coming from 3 p.m. on Friday, I am so trained. There's so much around. There's so much to do. And, like, I don't know if you notice, you can't really walk to get to all of it.
Yeah, well, today is, like, family day, as they call it, or kids day. And I just had to, trying to get here, I had to, like, get in, like, a river of people. Like, just jump in, and then
you
get in a little train.
Little kids or anything either, because they're small, and you're looking up at all the cool stuff.
We just have to get out of the way, because someone wants to take a photo of Gong Droid's toys.
I have my toys. The company I work for is toys, but they're awesome toys.
Oh. So you're feeling tired? What's your mood at?
What was that?
What's your mood like?
I'm happy. I'm having a good time. I'm actually having a really good time. It's sad when it's always Sunday and the last day of the show, and then I don't get to see any of my friends till the next con, because a lot of them from out of town, they only come for this sort of stuff, so it's cool. I'm happy, but at the same time...
Some of your pals are from out of country, Gonk.
I know, but
don't
I'll probably see you in like another day or two anyways, before you leave. I know that, so...
well, to lift your spirits, I brought you a little present.
Is this... No. I can't believe you brought this for me right now. You... I love you. I'm not even going to cuss this time. Thank you, buddy. I'm hugging Steel with much furious love.
Tell everyone what it is.
So first order stormtrooper from Hasbro. Oh, this is...
He got what the Mises is saying!
Awesome! Dude, I don't know how you... I don't know how you did it. I wouldn't even attempt to do this because I knew I there's just no way. Oh, I didn't know it would open like that. I thought there was a clear plastic piece.
And then there's a... And then there's a book on the other side about First Order Stormtroopers.
No way. I didn't know it had that. I thought you had to open it all to see all that. Oh, that's so cool, dude. That is really freaking cool. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, man.
My little pleasure, Gonky.
This is so special. This is the first piece of merchandise being sold for here. I can't believe it. I honestly didn't think I was going to even be able to pick this up.
Not for children under 3 years, mate.
All right,
so
cool.
Just watch yourself.
I'll make sure I don't let the girls play with it.
It's you I'm worried about.
Not for children. Choking hazard.
All right, so there is a condition with giving this to you.
Yes.
Let's film a segment of how to open an action figure like an asshole.
Crazy.
No. I'll do that with another toy. We'll do a good segment.
I thought you weren't going to swear this segment.
No, not for that.
You've just been Jar Jar'd.
No. You could replace me with the Gonk noise. No more Jar Jar. I was Jar Jar'd enough in the last episode on it. There's no way.
You've been Jar Jar'd, buddy.
Oh, God.
All the listeners know it. They just heard you Jar Jar.
They're so happy right now.
Whoops.
Oh. You know, I'm just, next time you're going to have me on, I'm just going to speak like Jar Jar the entire podcast.
Miss a there you go.
Oh my God, we're going to have to Jar Jar your Jar Jar.
There you go.
This is Inception.
There you go.
Well, enjoy the rest of the day if I don't see you, but I probably will.
Yeah. Maybe dinner later, maybe something, who knows. But if not...
Oh no, we're breaking out.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do the same then. I'm tired. Let's get out of here. Let's party somewhere else. Like in my room, in a bed, sleeping. That's what I need to do.
Gross.
That's my idea of having a good time right now, just going to bed.
It is not that type of podcast.
It is when I'm on. Everybody knows. Oh, he's on the episode again? Okay, skip. There's only so much Jar Jar we can handle.
We should put up a Jar Jar version and a sweary version.
Oh, God. We should. You know what? We should do the Jar Jar version on iTunes and then, you know, the unedited version on, you know, the website or something like that. It'd be kind of funny. I'll link it.
The adults only exclusive.
All right, buddy.
All right.
So glad to stop by. Thank you so much. This is so cool.
My pleasure.
Oh, dear. I'm so excited. I'm going to go brag.
Oh. I just got a hug from the Gonk. Oh, Misa moved.
Yeah, Misa happy. Misa happy or something. You should have made me talk like Jar Jar for a day. I probably would have for this thing. It's like you have to talk to everybody as in Jar Jar voice. I would have done it. But I'm glad you didn't put the condition right there.
It's too late now. It's too late now. Maybe for the episode 8 trooper.
Where's Jackie?
She's in panels in Hall H.
Nice. Very nice. I got to see her before.
All right.
See you guys soon.
I'll see you later on, Gonky.
All right, buddy. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the con. And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. We're back with Tracy. We've found her, the feminist nerd herself, from the Force Cult podcast. I'm done. Are you done?
I'm almost done. I got maybe a couple more hours in me, and then drinks. Lots of them.
Randy, you're not a very excitable person at the best of times. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm having a good time. I'm glad to be here. I mean, this is right now what we're doing right now. This is the highlight of my week, and you can hear it in my voice. I'm excited to be here. We're walking the show floor for the last, like, 2 hours. I'm thrilled, man.
Not only can I hear it in your voice, I can see it in your eyes, or underneath them mainly.
That is correct.
Well, it was awesome to meet you guys, and thanks for such a fun whatever that amount of time was. It was awesome.
Hall H camaraderie. We're like a pact now.
It's like when soldiers get, we'll probably get together in another like 20 or 30 yeah. years and talk about the people that we killed.
Because we did kill people. Yeah. Mostly with how bad we smelled. But. Yeah.
We didn't kill people, but we killed it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We killed it. There we go. Totally we good. Crushed it. Totally good, yeah. We yep. crushed it.
All right, well, I'll see you on the internet.
I will see you on the internet.
Long live the internet.
I guess there's not much to it, though.
What's your name, sir?
I'm John the Sax Guy.
John the Sax Guy. We're at the Star Wars Pavilion, and I've requested, you're playing some Star Wars tunes. Unsurprisingly to our listeners, I've requested Ewok Celebration Song, Yub Nub.
I'm going to try it.
Let's go.
I'm trying to remember how the rest of it goes.
There's just a lot of yub nubbing and...
lots of nubbing, lots of yubbing.
Yubbing, and then Lando hooks up with a few Ewoks and then fade to black.
As a concession, would you like a Cantina Band?
I'd love some Cantina Band. You've done a good job. How can, are you on the internet? Can people follow you?
Yeah, yeah. John the Sax Guy on Facebook is probably the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
I also have an Instagram, John the Sax Guy. Just John the Sax Guy. It's pretty easy to find me.
Nice. I'll give you a flyer for the podcast you're going to appear on.
Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Cheers. Ben, thanks for coming and contributing. It's adding to the
vibe. I try. I love Star Wars. I was at the concert on Friday night.
Yeah,
like I was playing requests. The entire line that we were marched in.
So it was really fun. You should have stormed the stage and started jamming.
Which stage? I mean, there's so many of them around. I mean,
no, at the concert.
At the concert. Oh, I thought about it, but I also didn't want to get kicked out at the same time. And
John the band guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, John the kicked out guy is what I would be. But no, I actually was playing along. I was playing all those songs before the concert, and then... right before the concert, they were playing all this pop music, and I was just playing along. It was awesome.
So. Well, the thing I like about Star Wars fans is how you find out what you're good at, and then you Star Wars that up and contribute. So,
as a gift, I'm going to give you something that they won't be able to see. Someone, someone, take his phone real quick. I'm going to give you a fist bump.
TIE Fighter.
So maybe you could link a picture of that to your viewers or your listeners, I should say, because they will appreciate that. Yeah. I learned that at Comic-Con years ago.
Awesome, man.
My pleasure.
Good meeting you.
Yeah. I think nice to meet you. Still. I think.
Cheers.
Check it out.
All right, it's about I think 4 o'clock or something. Last day. I just lined up at the Petco booth to get a complimentary Yoda hood ear thing for my cat Jerry, and he's gonna hate me. So as I got the hood, I could feel my cat's claws coming out on the other side of the planet. But I'm back with Dominic, and how you doing, Dominic?
I'm doing great. I'm tired, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I could just fall asleep here right now if I wanted to, but it's been good.
And you went out and played the Battlefront game, which a lot of our listeners are furious at me that I don't play Star Wars video games.
Yeah.
And
I don't either. So I put up a thing on Facebook. I just played the Battlefront game, and my friends were like, "Oh, is it? What's it like? Is it just a Battlefield thing with Star Wars skins?" I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, my thing is always to people, that listen, you got to play the games, you got to play the games. I'm like, well, if I start playing the games, you're not getting any podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah, we might, SWU might go on a little hiatus when Battlefront comes out. We'll just be playing.
Now, we're getting the scoop from you before the Star Wars Underworld podcast gets
bad.
It.
I feel like Chris and Ben are going to murder me. I'm afraid to go back to the hotel now. Chris is just going to stab me in the back.
All right, so give us a quick review, but make it not that good.
Oh, yeah.
So people still have to tune in to Star Wars Underworld on Friday.
Maybe I should just, like, whisper it or something so nobody can hear it. No, we went over...
The podcast is getting sexy towards the end of Comic-Con.
Yes, we walked over to the... I can't give that. We walked over to the Nerd HQ area, which is, I think Zachary Levi runs that, or at least he pays for it. And they had demos of Battlefront. You could play either on PC, which was sort of a big... There's a word for it. Again, I don't play video games. I don't know. But it was sort of a big, massive, like 40 people playing all at once on Hoth. Or you could play on PS4. You could just two people doing the Tatooine video that we saw at E3. We played the big, massive 40 people one. And it was great. It was on Hoth. It was the Empire going after some rebel scum. And it was good. I killed 12 rebels, but died 18 times. So I really wasn't that helpful to the Empire. Yeah. We still managed to win despite me. So
I think you're perfect to become a stormtrooper.
Yeah, I couldn't really hit anything for the first 10 minutes of the game.
So for someone that doesn't play video games much, was it hard to... Because I always find some of those games, not the Star Wars ones, but like Halo and stuff, the controls, it just seems like I have to go to, I don't know, some school or Flight Command to learn how to play it.
Flight Command. what was really helpful at this thing, they had little placards that showed the keyboard and the mouse and what each button did. So... I mean, it would have been what I should have done is looked at it before I started playing. So I was constantly like glancing over at it and trying not to get shot while I did. I got shot about 3 times while I did that. But
you should have tried to find the not getting killed button.
Not getting killed, but I really should have. If only such a thing existed. Some invincibility.
That's the trick. The not getting killed button. You have to hold down 11 keys at once, and that's why it's difficult.
just put your forearm down on the keyboard.
You have to stay stationary the entire time.
Yeah.
You actually have to think about Slave Leia while you're playing.
Oh.
See, we are ending sexy.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Well, thank you for that little preview, and I'm sure you'll have a far less lewd review on Star Wars Underworld this week. Thanks very much, Dominic, for hanging out with us.
It's been so much fun, man. This whole experience has been so wonderful. It's been great to share it with you and Jackie and Chris and everybody from Making Star Wars, Star Wars Underworld, Steel Wars, Fusion.net, everybody.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been really cool, and I can't wait to line up like an absolute lunatic with you again soon.
Oh yes, absolutely. We gotta do it. Find another all night line. I don't know what it will be. I don't know. We gotta find a way for all of us to meet somewhere for the midnight premiere and just do it up.
Well, I'll be back home for the midnight premiere, but maybe in London.
London, yes. We gotta go to London. I will almost certainly be there. Odds are right now are looking better than they were about 6 weeks ago from you getting here. So I'm definitely looking forward. That sounds like the place to do it.
All right. Well, it's been awesome, and we'll see you then. I'll see you on the internet.
See you on the internet. Yeah. See your picture and your words and all that.
And my weird voice.
And weird voice. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. And pictures of your cat dressed as Yoda, apparently.
And then pictures of me in emergency with all these scratches on my face.
You didn't realize Yoda was so mean.
My cat's going to be training by watching Nightmare on Elm Street videos. All right, we're out.
We're out. Bye.
All right, you guys, it's about 4 o'clock on the final day, and we are with Robert Xavier Burden, and you're an artist. You are... I'm not sure. I need you to describe what we're standing in front of. You're used to it.
Right. So a lot of people walk by the the oil paintings, and they're not entirely sure what they are. They're massive oil on canvas paintings that depict the action figures, toys that I played with as a kid.
When you say massive oil painting, we are talking 10 foot by 15 foot?
So this Star Wars one here that we're staring at, called the 20th Century Space Opera, it's 8 feet by 15 feet, and the one beside it, which is of a giant tauntaun, is just a little over 11 feet by 7 feet.
Now, the space opera is one of the most incredible pieces of Star Wars art ever produced. Like, it is up there with, you know, like the Hildebrands, and it features so many action figures throughout the years. There's little Easter eggs. I just saw, is that Flash Gordon down there? That's Flash Gordon.
Lizard Woman, yep.
You've got John Wayne.
So actually, Yul Brynner.
Okay.
Yul Brynner from The Magnificent Seven. Joseph Campbell. Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Samurai Kabuto helmets.
But then you've got cool things like a cartoon, Wicket the Ewok.
Wicket, the city of San Francisco, way off in the distance, behind Boba Fett. The cranes of Oakland, to the right of Boba Fett, said to have influenced the design of the AT-AT. I wanted to create a painting that a Star Wars fan and a Star Wars aficionado could stare at for a very long period of time and really delve into and find all these little hidden Easter eggs. Because, you know, the idea is to glorify these objects in a way that I saw them as a kid, and part of that is trying to create a painting that a Star Wars fan can stare at for a long period of time.
There is just so much depth to it. I just saw Kermit the Frog with a lightsaber.
Right, yeah. So, again, one of those Easter eggs being Kermit the Frog. Even Jar Jar Binks makes an appearance. He's very, very hidden. It's almost become a game for people to see if you can find Jar Jar. And a lot of people just say, how about we don't find Jar Jar?
And how many hours did it take?
This particular piece took about 2,000 hours of studio time spread out over a year and a half.
And how do you start?
It starts with a very very tight grid on the canvas. I draw a grid on the canvas, and then using that grid, I map out all the patterning using influences from Eastern mandalas, Persian and Moroccan rugs, French tapestries, illuminated manuscripts from both Bibles and Korans, and some Gothic stained glass influences. And so once all the patterning's in place, then it's about trying to figure out where I want all the figures to go. A lot of people are wondering why Boba Fett's in the centerpiece. That's because there's sort of a light side, dark side theme to the painting. Even all the figures are lit from left to right. And mercenaries in the middle. And it felt right to have Boba Fett in the middle just because of the sort of mystery around his action figure release. The character had such a sort of legendary, almost mystical, maybe mystical is not the right word, but mysterious release initially, because nobody knew who the character was, and it just looked like the most interesting thing ever to an 8-year-old boy. But yeah.
And what's your history? Like, are you doing like a lot of gallery shows? And like, before you got into the action figure tapestry art?
Right. So I started this body of work when I was doing my master's in fine arts at the San Francisco Art Institute, which is a very conceptual school. So, you know, that's part of where the scale means a lot to what I'm doing, because it's sort of trying to take it to the next level in terms of overwhelming, you know, nature in a gallery setting. I've been showing in galleries for the past 10 years. The whole convention thing is a little bit new to me, because it's a kind of an interesting new way to explore the ideas of you know, getting the work out there to as many people as possible. Primarily, the work has been shown in galleries, but San Diego Comic-Con's been a fun experience.
Awesome. The weird thing was, I don't think we just talked... No, we didn't mention the podcast. The weird thing was that last year we were having dinner and beer, or I was,
yeah,
in one of maybe the worst establishments I've ever been into.
I thought that whole place, I didn't realize this until afterwards, but I think that restaurant's shtick is for everyone to be as rude to you as possible.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that going in, you'd be like, wow, everyone here is an absolute... But, sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but like... You know,
you've just been censored by a Jar Jar quote.
Thank you for censoring that, because I should not have said that. But no, it was that was the first place I met you, and you had no idea that that this is what I do, and we just were having a pint before before you even saw the work.
So. Well, it's been really cool to see all the coverage that it's gotten, like in the Star Wars media and stuff. And yeah. I was like, I had a beer with that guy in the worst place. Yeah. In the world.
Yeah. No, it was an awful place filled with miserable people. But, yeah.
Dicks of San Diego. Avoid, because it's filled with dicks of San Diego.
Maybe that's the charm of it. I don't know. I shouldn't have spoken so illy of it. Maybe the charm is that people like going into this place where everyone's like supposed to be as rude to you as possible. But I really don't know. Anyways, I shouldn't have said that word.
Now, finally, the 2,000 hours, did you say?
2,000 hours,
and just listening to your voice and your demeanor, yeah. You seem like a very calm man, far calmer than I. Was there a point where you were just like, was there a dark hour?
Of course. I mean, when you're working on something like this, always, you know, halfway through the piece where it's the most miserable and it's nothing but hard work and you can't really see the end in sight. You wonder what the hell you're doing.
You just have to think of the rewards of some idiot from Australia putting a dictaphone in front of your face
right.
And asking you questions.
I mean, this couldn't be better. It's all worthwhile. I think once you start the painting, once everything's mapped out in place, it really is just about thinking about one daily task. And you don't really allow yourself to think about the finished product. It's almost like running a marathon, you know, like if you think about the finished product too often, you'll become paralyzed and you won't really do anything. You'll just walk into your studio and become overwhelmed with all the work that needs to get done. And so I had one daily task, and that was all I thought about for each day.
Well, Robert, you're an amazing artist.
Thank
and
you.
You're also very wise. Good advice for life.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody should ever tell me that I'm very wise. Or that
no,
I, nice.
You just when you were saying just a task a day, I was
right.
Like...
Yeah, don't get
that.
Too far ahead of yourself.
Now, new film coming out,
yeah.
A world of new toys.
Right.
Are we busting out a giant canvas?
I got a lot of stuff in the queue right now. There's a lot of projects that I'm really excited about getting to, but A Force Awakens, you know, new sort of 21st century space opera painting. You know, maybe if it's a commission, but I have no plans right now to do... I can't even think about doing another one of these, but for a whole generation of new toys.
Robert, as you were saying that, just sort of started twitching.
Yeah, no, I know, truly, like, that wasn't being sarcastic at all. I really do get uncomfortable when I think about the idea right now of starting basically the same thing. And you know, the thing is, you come to a place like Comic-Con where it's so much sensory overload and everyone wants immediate gratification right away, and... you know, a lot of people do come up and say, oh, well, now you got to do another one, but with all these new characters in it. And it's like, well, it took a year and a half of my life, you know? Like, that's a strong commitment already, and I may lose my mind if I think about that too much.
Well, thanks for taking some time out, man, and amazing.
No problem. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys, it's 11 o'clock, Sunday night. I am walking through LA, the Miracle Mile. I just had to park the car. Long drive back from San Diego. Tons of traffic. But we all drove home so happy. And that's the thing. I'm pretty sure a lot of people left Comic-Con very happy. And how can you hate on anything that makes people happy, huh? As long as you're not hurting anyone. I just did my radio spot for Fox FM reporting on Comic-Con on the Scoopla show with Jules Lund and Emma Freeman, and I think they got the last bit of energy I had. yeah. So it was just, I don't know, you guys heard the recordings and stuff. It was just the best. We had such a good time, and I'm so stoked of all the new friends I made in the line, and you know, the guys from making Star Wars Underworld, Force Cult podcast and, you know, Gonk Droid and all the Jax guys. Good to see Arnie and Marjorie from Star Wars Action News podcast. And, yeah, it was just really cool to, you know, meet all those new people that you got to listen along with. David Collins, Sam Witwer. It was just the best week. So I hope you had fun being a part of it. Someone tweeted me that it was like an audio documentary, and that was pretty cool. Good way to describe it. I am almost without voice. I'm so excited for the next 6 months. It's going to be amazing. There's a fire truck going past. I hope you enjoyed the Comic-Con live blog podding. And I don't think a lot of podcast listeners realize that how much power you have to help out our podcast. And that's through podding it forward. So, you know, write a sweet 5-star review on iTunes. I know the Australian one only has about 115 or 20 or something at the moment. And we're getting thousands of downloads each week. So you other guys, you other non-120 people, takes 2 minutes. Write a sweet 5-star review. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter at Steel Wars, and on Facebook, just search Steel Wars, and that will pop up tons of fun photos, like tons. And all through this week, I'll be posting up more. I've got videos, some really cool stuff with videos and stuff. So check all that out. And give us some retweets. Share the statuses if you're in a Star Wars forum, Star Wars Facebook page. Mention that you're enjoying the podcast if you are. And if you're not, just stop listening. Don't do anything you don't enjoy. So I figure if you're still listening, you're enjoying. So help spread the word for us, because that seriously is the main way we get new listeners. And if we get more listeners, we'll get more attention. We'll get to do cooler stuff. And interview more people and go to more cool events and have great fun. Also, if you want a t-shirt, I know we're getting a lot of compliments on the t-shirts at Comic-Con and on Instagram and stuff, because there's tons of dudes wearing them. There's the Wear Home t-shirt and the Lucas 1138. They're available on the Steel Wars web store. And the prices are in Australian dollars, so if you're in America, don't freak out. The your currency is very good, and it works more out to American prices when you work out the currency difference. But it's all through PayPal, and PayPal does the currency thing over. So it'd be really cool if you got behind that. The t-shirts rule. I think they're super fun, and I just know every time I wear them, I get so many comments about it. And I spoke to Colin, who was over from Australia, and he was wearing his Wear Home t-shirt, and he had people in Star Wars cosplay that wanted to get photos with the t-shirt. And that's pretty cool. And I hooked up Sam Witwer and David Collins with some Wear Home t-shirts, and they were very psyched on them. So I think they're a good tee, super good quality, and it helps support what we're doing with the podcast and keep it going, pay for all the hosting and all the little fees, and let's not even get into the time that we do this. But speaking of times, this week was the best time ever. Thanks to everyone that I met and stuff. It was super fun. So get involved in Star Wars. Go to your local events, meet people, interact, and have some great adventures. I will never forget this week. It was really cool. So bring on December. Bring on Celebration in London. We're going to have a hell of a good time. May the Force be with you guys. Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars' Star Wars A New Hope live commentary
preview. I am comedian Steele Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And in November 2014, I gathered the hilariousness of Australian comedians Greg Fleet, Bart Freebarn, and Tegan Higginbotham to do a live commentary of Star Wars A New Hope Blu-ray edition. And now it is up on Bandcamp for you to enjoy for a mere $2.50 or free with a t-shirt purchase. Now, I want to get this out of the way quick, smart. This is adults only listening. If you are easily offended, this is definitely, definitely not the audio commentary you are looking for. This commentary was done under stand-up comedy rules, you might say. Anything goes. We are riffing on the fly and things get pretty loose. So if you want to sit down and have a great viewing of Star Wars A New Hope on Blu-ray with four comedians, then tuck right in. It is just $2.50. The audience had a great time. We had a great time. It's one of the best movies ever. Here is a quick clip of the opening moments of the commentary.
Yeah. Hey, Fleety, remember when I told you we can't edit stuff out?
Oh, yeah. You got the wrong person.
I'm here as well.
Freedom to the galaxy, and those words are floating off.
Do you think, like, in the, like, at one point, those words will actually get to Earth?
We're like, it's all true. I thought they were sent from Earth up to another planet.
Yeah.
There's a planet. There's another planet. There's two planets. Oh, and a massive planet.
I think that one could be the same size. It's just closer.
Ah.
Whoa.
There's
a
jet car fight. Oh, they're fighting. They're fighting already, ladies and gentlemen.
This is how all good pornos start.
Yeah.
I have really got to watch more porn to keep up with these Star Wars podcasts. My goodness.
Pretty bad effects.
Oh, man.
R2 and C-3PO didn't dig that.
No.
Who's C-3PO's mate? He looks like a silvery version of C-3PO.
That's Steve.
Steve. Steve's going to get shot.
They think C-3PO always looks like he needs to take a piss. He's always sort of clenched over.
I feel like
he's actually see-through, and that's just a urine buildup.
Get in the pod, bro.
Oh, sweet pod action, bro.
Man.
Oh, man.
All right, now you've got, like, the whole movie could have ended here.
Yeah. Kill it. Oh, no, there's no signs of life. Do robots exist? No. Let it go.
How's Darth Vader's mate that thinks he's so hard because he's chilling with Vader? Look at him.
No.
And we are just warming up. So what you can do is sync it with your Blu-ray, turn down the volume, turn up this recording, and it is like you are there. It is so much fun. And it is just $2.50 or free with a t-shirt purchase. Of course, you can donate more if you want. And don't think of it that you're paying $2.50 just for the commentary. You're also helping the podcast continue. Obviously, it takes a lot of time to put all these together. There's a lot of background work to upload, and the feed, and the recording, and the editing. And that is time I could be spent doing other stuff, but this is what I love to do. And if you want to support it, please chuck in $2.50 and enjoy the great commentary. It's a great time, and it's a great way to say thanks for the tons of podcasts I've been doing, especially over San Diego Comic Con. I hope you download it. I hope you enjoy it, and may the Force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.